Jeremiah chapter 26 and verse 19. We're still dealing with favor with God and man, part 3. Jeremiah 26 and verse 19. Did Hezekiah, king of Judah, and all Judah ever put him to death? Did he not fear the Lord and seek the Lord's favor? Church, we got to seek the Lord's favor. Say, seek the Lord's favor. And the Lord relented concerning the doom which he had pronounced against them. But we are doing great evil against ourselves. You don't want to do that. Isn't that right, church? Look back to Deuteronomy now, chapter 28. Look at verse 49. Everybody there? The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagles fly. A nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance. Now, this is part of the curse. Say, we've been redeemed from this. But it says, look at, listen to this, which does not respect the elderly. I see that today. Nor show favor to the young. Pretty powerful stuff there. Look over now to Proverbs chapter 8. Just getting started here. Got a powerful testimony to come up this morning. I was talking to someone before the service. They shared it with me. I said, you know what? We're reading about testimonies in the Word, and I know a lot of you got testimonies. Why don't you share that with us this morning? I said, no, just take 5 minutes, not 20. Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 34 and verse 35. Blessed is the man who listens to me. How many daily listen to the Lord? One of the ways is to be in his word, because he speaks to you through his word. And there's other times you could be praying and then listen to that still small voice. You know when you say you got a hunch? It's a spirit talking to you. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. Now here it is. For whoever finds me finds life. We have to seek after him. Now God's not lost. He's talking about the press we have to put on. He's there waiting for us. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. I love that. Psalm 119. I heard another preacher talking about favor. I said, I don't know how he gets my tape so quickly. Never fails, huh? But that's all right. God bless him. It's all the word. Psalm 119, verse 57. You are my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep your words. I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. Look at verse 59. Now it says, I entreated your favor, up there in verse 58. Now, verse 59 says, I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. Isn't that good? I thought about my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. Church, our lifestyle, the way we live on a daily basis, has a lot to do with favor increasing in our lives. Look to Haggai. Chapter 1. Now brace up for this because we don't want you to get no condemnation here. Right? Haggai chapter 1, look to verse 3. Remember, our lifestyle and our ways can entreat favor on a daily life, on our daily walk. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for yourselves to dwell on your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins?" I follow that pattern. We built our church in 92, and I built my own home in 93, but we built the church first. "It is time for yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your neighbor's ways." Somebody must have wiped that out of my Bible. "Consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat but do not have enough. You drink but you are not filled. You clothe yourselves but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put to a bag with holes." It's like having holes in your pocket. You wonder where the money went. Isn't that right? You ever been there? Verse 7, and he repeats it. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." The word ways is defined as a course of action, methods, manners, and behavior. So for you and I to increase in favor, we must conduct our ways the way God wants us to. Consider your ways, then consider what God says, okay? You can't go tear up your neighbor's yard and then say, "I need a favor." You see what I mean? That doesn't work like that. Look to Proverbs 11. Now, they may have a lot of grace and still do it after you fix their yard. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And verse 27. "He who earnestly seeks good finds," what, church?
Favor.
You know what? This will make a difference in your life. Bob will get a couple testimonies today just show you. You may think they're insignificant, but they're really not. "But trouble will come to him who seeks evil." Now, are you seeking favor or are you seeking evil? "Develop a lifestyle of seeking out that which is good and pleasing to the Lord." Church, one of the things we'll have to do and be disciplined about is keeping a hunger for God's word. Look over now. You're right there in Proverbs. Look over to Proverbs 13. If you lost your hunger, we'll show you how to get out of it, okay? Proverbs 13. We're going to read down to 15, then we're going to go back to 13. "He who despises the word will be destroyed." Woof. "But he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life, to turn one away from the snares of death. Good understanding gains," what? "Gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard." Good understanding gains favor. I like that. Now look to Proverbs 13, part A. "He who despises the word will be destroyed." This happens to a lot of Christians. And it goes something like this. "I'm so tired of studying the word. It really doesn't mean anything like it once did. It's not fresh. I get bored." Okay, now here's what God wants to do. He wants to break through any dryness, deadness, and dullness in your life so you'll get back to enjoying the word. All you have to tell him, you know, I haven't been enjoying the word like I should. I know the problem not with you, God. So guess what?
Right.
Consider your ways.
Amen. That's good counsel. That's right.
Don't quit.
Amen.
There's a big difference between quitting and changing. It's okay to change if you've been involved in dryness and, you know, your boredom and so forth, but don't quit.
Amen.
Say, I will not quit. Galatians chapter 6. How many have been tempted to quit?
Yeah.
That temptation will always be there, church. You are in a battle. You're in a warfare. You win one battle, then you say, oh, my, I could just take a break now.
Mm-hmm.
See yourself under a pineapple tree, and guess what?
Yeah.
The devil will shake the pineapple. Okay. Say,
I'm not quitting.
I won't quit. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now here it is. I mean this for you. Verse 9. And let us grow weary. Let us not grow weary. Excuse me. While doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or faint. Some passages have said, or some translations. I want to quote someone. I don't know who this someone is. It's someone, though. It's not me. Someone has stated to keep your feet on the rock when you reach the end of your rope.
Yeah.
You get that?
Yes, sir.
Keep your feet on the rock when you've reached the end of your rope.
Amen.
Look over to Philippians chapter 1. You having fun yet? Blessed be his name. Philippians chapter 1. Look to verse 6. Being confident. Being confident of this very thing, that he, you have to be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will not finish it. Will leave you temporarily unfixed. Nope. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't quit, and God will not give up on you. He won't. The only way we can lose, you and me, is if we quit. The only way you can lose. Have you ever been overwhelmed by a situation? I mean, totally overwhelmed. Have you ever had a situation that consumed your mind 24 hours a day and there appeared to be no solution or rest? Have that ever happened to you? Well, look to Psalm 102. We'll see an example there. Psalm 102. Now, here's a man who's completely overwhelmed by a situation, and he needs some answers from God. How many of you need some answers from God?
Yeah.
Psalm 102, verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me. In the day that I call, answer me speedily. So he puts out this petition. He puts out this prayer to God. Now he goes on. See the description of this man's days, if there are any kind of comparison to some of the days you may have had in the past. Verse 3, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a earth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Wow. Because of your indignation and your wrath, you have lifted me up and cast me down or away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. You will arise and have mercy on Zion, the church, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. Don't you like that? This man is overwhelmed by his adversity, but he still recognized that he's entitled to the favor of God. So no matter what situation you are in, you're still entitled to the favor of God. Now, when some are faced with overwhelming situations, it's easy to become problem-minded instead of solution-minded. Isn't that right? We tend to forget our covenant during a trial. Anybody ever do that? All right, look to Psalm 89. And let's echo this. Psalm 89. And verse 34. My covenant, I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Church, you got to lean upon your covenant because that is where the favor of God is. But sometimes this problem is so overwhelming, it's all that you can really think about. I mean, you're consumed with it. You're going down a highway, you're thinking about it. You go to lay down, you're going to think about it. Sometimes it's hard to get distracted from that problem. Isn't it right? The only thing that will drive that out is God's word. But the psalmist still remembers that he's entitled to God's favor. And the reason he knows he's entitled to it, because he is a covenant man. Once he begins to get his mind off the problem and starts thinking about the favor of God, he begins to speak more positively. Verse 13 says, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor has come. Yes, the set time has come." You need God's favor, especially when you're dealing with adversity. But you got to change your attitude. But you've got to change your attitude. Perspective is very important. When David was confronted with Goliath, he had a totally different perspective than his brothers did. Here's perspective. They saw a man too big to kill, but David saw a man too big to miss. Same giant, same problem, but a different perspective. And now let's welcome up Bob for his 5 minutes of favor testimony. I was teasing with him. I said, every time I tell Charles take five, he takes 20.
Hello, everybody.
Now, this is a good testimony, Bob.
It was I guess, kind of small, but kind of big in a way that it just showed me that if you live in faith and you truly try to be as obedient to God as possible, you will be shown favor, definitely. Back in July 20th, a couple weeks ago, I had ordered a phone case that charges your phone while it's in it, and it was supposed to be there in 2 days, and it wasn't, and we called Amazon and went through a bunch of circles, and we ended up having to get a refund, and they sent us out, we reordered it and sent us out another one. Well, here 2 days ago, I originally got sent the original one. It was lost in shipping, they said. And so And my wife called me, and I was at work, and she said, you know, we just got a package in the mail from Power Bear. And I said, oh, another case. I said, and I was joking. I said, oh, cool, I got a free one. And she goes, well, you know, we're going to have to return. I said, yeah, I know, honey. I said, call them up and see what we got to do to return it. And she called them, and they said, we've already closed this out. We're not going to double bill you. You can pretty much keep it. So I got a spare one. You know, if this one breaks or quits working, I got a free one. And then the other day, my car, I had installed a camera in it, and I apparently, because the car wasn't equipped by the factory with this, the radio is locked. That feature is locked out. And in order, if I would have just go to a dealership and say, hey, I need this feature unlocked, they would charge you between $50 and $100. Well, I stopped at the dealership because I have another issue going on with the radio. And I said, hey, while you're at it fixing this radio, can you possibly look into this issue and unlock this feature so when I get the cord I need to plug in, it'll work? And he said, hold on a second. And he got on the computer in 2 minutes, and he goes, there you go, you're set. And I said, well, how much? He goes, nah, you're good. Free, totally free. So in 1 week, you know, two big favors for me. I mean, you know, only because I try to be as obedient as possible and I truly live in the faith, no matter what adversity I've gone through in the last few years, I try to stay as faithful and as obedient as I can. And because of this, I live truly in a life of favor.
Amen.
Amen. Probably a couple quick minutes.
No, I mean, what you said, what you've been through, because Bob has another testimony to share. If anybody else has something to share on favor, you can. I'm done, because the next segment I was going to was to talk about Queen Esther and the favor she had. But if you start reading the book of Esther, what's amazing, this king, now I want you to hear this, Diane, you school teachers, he has a party for 180 straight days. Them people had to be nuts. That meant there was drinking involved. Let me give you an example of what 180 days is. That's, well, 180 days really is a typical school year tack on 5 in service days.
Yeah. That's right.
You're talking 9 months.
That's right.
Bob, you want to go ahead and share this?
Yeah. The adversity I spoke of earlier was, you know, a little over four years ago, I lost my daughter. And at that time, I was very new to my Christian relationship with God. And rather than blaming God and walking away from God and being mad at him that he took my daughter, I embraced God and prayed almost every minute of the day to get through every minute of the day. And in the last 4 years, I've been truly shown nothing but favor. I've met my wife, who is probably the best woman I've ever met in my life. I'm very close. I have a very close relationship with God. I've read through the Bible now 1.5 times. You know, as far as like the obedience goes, a lot of people say, well, it's hard to find time in the day to read a Bible and stuff like that. And I tried. I would come home from work, but my mind was racing. I couldn't really do it. In the evening, if I tried, I would fall asleep because I'm tired because of a long day. So now what I have done is I get up 30 minutes early every day. I get up at 4:30 instead of 5 before work, and I spend 30 minutes in the Word. And that's where my obedience is. No matter what, I'm up at that time getting in the Word. And it's so regular for me now, it's not even hard to get up. You know, I used to get up without my alarm, but now I sleep to the alarm because... You know, I do make the extra time, but as soon as that alarm goes off, I turn it off, I get right up, and I go get my coffee and go straight to the Word. Obedience and living in faith. You know, I didn't feel God took my daughter. Andrew took my daughter. God accepted my daughter.
Right. Bob, you ought to explain that a little bit. I mean, you can take the time to do that. I know you've done it.
Explain which part? How she died?
How she was taken.
She wasn't sick, right? No, but her and her boyfriend had broke up. He had called her to the house. Now, she was famous for any time they got into a fight, she would pick up anything near her and throw it at him. That's just the way. It didn't matter what it was. And it so happened that His gun was laying there and another clip, and they were fighting. She picked up the clip and threw it at him. She went to pick up the gun and throw it at him. When she cocked back to throw it at him, he reached out and the gun went off and shot her in the head. And I had found that out later as to what happened. What went through my mind for the first almost year after she died was that as soon as she turned her back, he just took a gun, aimed it, and shot her. I felt she was murdered, and I had a lot of anger. But yet I still did not walk away from God. I reached deeper towards God for the strength to get through it. Because there's a lot of things I could have done myself to take care of. I could have taken the law in my own hands. I knew a lot of people that were in that jail because I am a recovering addict and I've been through the rooms. And I know a lot of people who are in that jail with him. And I could have had things, but that's not God's will for me today. And I knew that. I knew I had to strengthen through it, through his strength. And that's what I did. And that's why today I do live in the favor that I live in. And I am blessed every single day. And God shows me mercy every single day. And I truly believe that in my heart, he has a plan for me. And I'm doing my best to walk in his plan and his will and not mine.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You had to work through forgiveness, right, Bob?
Yeah, forgiveness was tough. The first, probably the first 2 years, I had it in my mind that I was going to follow God's steps no matter what. But I was not going to forgive that man. Because of the three daughters I have, I love them all unconditionally, but she was the one I liked.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of you parents can understand that. She was the one that was taken away from me, and by Andrew's hand, maybe not truly deliberately, but I found him in fault because that gun never should have been out. He was responsible for where that gun was. So I blamed him, and I would not forgive him, but today I have forgiven him. Probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do was forgive that man. But in order to be where I'm at, I had to. In order to be as close to God and live in God's path, I had to. And I've learned that. And I'm doing the best I can every day to get through that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Bob, when you said that you loved all three of your daughters, but she was the one you liked, can I try and interpret that?
Sure.
She was the one you favored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was my baby girl. Yeah, we got a lot of parents. We're going to start over here with George. And we'll start there with Uncle Frank. And
oh, my God.
Don't, I'm not going to do that to you, Anthony. I promise. You never had that kind of... Never mind. Not asking any questions.
Hallelujah.
Oh, boy.
Hallelujah.